Sulsul Simmers.
Welcome to Speaking Simlish, where we talk about everything The Sims.
From the latest news to our favorite packs, we will deep dive into every way this game has shaped our lives.
And you're listening to Amy.
And Melissa.
And this is part two of our Sims 2 base game episode.
Yep, she is a beastie, so we've had to cut her up into two.
Wow, gory.
It wouldn't be me if it wasn't a little bit bloody.
It's true. And our Sims 2 part one episode was really well received. Thank you for the feedback. We're here to talk about build by and gameplay this time. Check out our part one episode for learning about create a family and the towns, the worlds, and the townies within them.
Yes, and look forward to a little bit more of a deep dive into some of the lore that came with these towns.
Yes.
Part we'll be doing that.
Many. So, you know, for the sake of time, because our last one was a beast, should we dive right into The Sims 2? Released in 2004. She is still iconic.
She's so iconic. I love that game so much.
And unfortunately, EA does not support this game anymore. So if you listen to this and think, wow, what a game, if you never played it before, I think eBay and things like that are the ways that you're going to have to try and acquire this game legally. But they did, once upon a time, EA did give away the whole thing, the Ultimate Collection, for free, and there's a lot of call for that to happen again. So if we scream loud enough, maybe they'll do something about it, but doubt it is EA. So we're going to start by talking about build by, a category we are exceptionally familiar with from The Sims 1.
We are. So this is a necessary component to your Sims base game. How can your Sims live their lives and be tiny little capitalists if there's nothing for them to build or buy?
Exactly. So build by, split into two categories, right? So the building part of it is like that architecture part, putting up the walls, putting down the floors, making up your floor plan. And it was a lot more detailed this time around for The Sims 2. And then you have your buy category, which is the stuff to fill your beautiful floor plan with. And again, was so much more detailed this time around.
Yeah, absolutely. So in build mode, you start out with
your lot,
and you can build your home, or in the base game this time, you can build a community lot if you so choose.
Yep. Very cool addition. Very cool addition. And it starts off, as you can imagine, with your grid, and the lots that you build on are set sizes. So that's your buildable area. So that's where you can put up walls and things like that. If you go outside the grid, it just won't work. But the beautiful thing about two is that you can place down more lots in these worlds. So if you're just not vibing with the sizes that you're seeing of blank lots in, you know, Pleasant View, Veronaville, and all of these other places that you might have even made, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can customize that.
Yeah, so you can have a teeny tiny lot or the 64 by 64 legacy lot, as the community tends to label them.
Yep.
And as long as there is a road with open space, you can plop down a lot. The world will kind of conform around it to make sure the
terrain
isn't too fucked up. But you also have terrain tools in the base game, so that you can edit that terrain to make it more manageable for building.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's a really cool part of build mode too. It's not just like, here are my walls, boom, I'm done. You have so much that you can customize on the outside when it comes to like landscaping with rocks and shrubs and trees and ponds and things like that to make it really look beautiful. The other really cool thing about the landscaping that you can place in build mode is that it will require upkeep.
Yes, it's very interesting. And we can touch on this a little bit more in the gameplay section. Mm-hmm. But be careful about how much landscaping you do, because your Sims will have to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can't reach it, that's just gonna, it's just gonna grow and grow.
Yes, you will need to weed. It's such an interesting concept. I loved it so much. Like that mundane thing, like that the community loves. You know, like I don't want to weed in real life, but sure, my little pixelated Sim self can go and weed.
Once again, I'm advocating for lawn mowing in The Sims.
Yep. This is not the first time she's done this, guys.
Why do I want lawn mowing so much? I don't even like doing laundry in The Sims. I don't have Bust the Dust. But I want to, I don't know, mow my lawn.
Bust the Dust and me have like a real like will they, won't they relationship though, because
we do.
Sometimes my hand hovers over that by now.
I know, I always tell myself us. $5. That's like a Starbucks coffee.
Right.
If I went to Starbucks.
Yeah. Bust the Dust is enemies to lover story for both of us. I call it now. But yeah, back to build mode. Just so many ways that you can customize foundations, all of these things that you're like, okay, Amy, cool. That sounds great. We expect that. But, you know, we're in our time machine in 2004 right now, guys. Okay. This is innovation.
This is really cool. This is a really robust building system that mm-hmm. we did not have in The Sims 1. Come on, right. guys. We only had The Sims 1. This is new.
Yes, exactly.
Innovative.
Mm. Tell it like it is. And then once you've, you know, decorated how you want your floor plan, all of that kind of stuff, buy mode has always been my favorite aspect of build buy. I don't know how you feel about that, Melissa.
I like the plants.
Ooh.
Plants are my favorite. That was always a lot of my custom content
mm-hmm.
is plants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not good at landscaping, though. I'm really not. I have a hard time with trying to make everything way too symmetrical.
Yep. I had that problem when I was playing 2 as well.
Yeah. Symmetry
yep.
does not exist in nature. I mean, it right. does, but like when you want like a garden or something wild looking,
mm-hmm.
you gotta.
Yeah. But some people love that, right? The symmetry look in their landscaping. In real life, I mean, right?
Yeah,
but I don't. Me. I like things looking a little bit real.
I like it a little wild.
Yes, more natural. But mm-hmm. in The Sims 2, that is actually kind of difficult to do. Way more easy to achieve that wild look in something like 4, I think.
Yeah, or even 3.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I also do love buy mode. There is a lot that came with the base game to play with and
mm-hmm.
to either make a shackety shack or the mansion of your dreams.
Right. Exactly. And you had categories that sorted things through for you. Again, nothing unusual for Sims players to hear. Appliances, comfort, decorations, electronics, hobbies, lighting, plumbing, surfaces, and then our ever favorite miscellaneous category where EA and the Sims team will just throw anything that doesn't fit into that one.
That was also my favorite category as like a child.
Where is my bullshit to fill my
house? I would like to put as much bullshit as possible in this house. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
And each of these categories have like subcategories.
Mm-hmm.
I think you touched on that a little bit. So like in appliances, you'll have like big appliances and small appliances and then a miscellaneous.
Right.
Every category has a miscellaneous.
Yes. And the cool thing about the categories as well, they align with your Sim's needs.
Yes.
Right. So obviously appliances, that's where you're going to find your stuff that will fulfill the hunger need. Decorations do matter in The Sims 2. They yes. will care about the environment that is around them. They will need to sit down on comfortable things. So that comfort category is super important too. So all of that buy mode is really linked to your gameplay and the needs that your Sims will have once you get into live mode.
Yeah, so you, aspirationally, you will want the nicer stuff, but it also makes your Sims' lives easier.
Mm-hmm.
You will not have to sit down on a couch for as long to feel that comfort
or if
it's a nicer couch or sleep longer in a better bed. And they have little scores in the description.
Yes.
Indicating this is better, this is worse.
Yep. And that's something we're used to as well. It's just really helpful user interface to know like what you're getting into, like how much things cost. And obviously the more expensive things are, usually the better they are at fulfilling whatever needs your sim has.
Absolutely.
And then another cool part of buy mode is like an extra layer of filter, because you can think about all of the categories as filters, right?
Right.
But there's another layer of filter called collections. So this became increasingly important as packs were released as well, because you could filter things by pack, but you can also filter by a theme or an aesthetic.
Yeah. And this is a great way to kind of just organize your stuff, because you can also make your own collections within the game. So I know I always had collections for like my favorite things, my favorite decorations, just so I could easily access them without having to scroll through all of the tabs.
Right. And that's such an important thing for any Sims 4 players, because think about the search bar that we have in The Sims 4. You did not have that in The Sims 2. The search bar is a really wonderful addition, especially as you get to the end of a life cycle when you have so much shit in your build by category. That just being able to have a little category of your fave things, you could even do it like by pack or whatever, you know, whatever made it easier for you. Having those collections was almost like the precursor to the search bar.
Oh, yeah. I find myself missing that search bar when I go back and play earlier iterations of The Sims. And also having custom collections is also helpful for people like us who are custom content whores. Custom content creators would make a collection for the collections that they put out. I know Around The Sims is a really good example of that. They always have a collection corresponding to whatever set they've put out.
Perfect.
I love that.
I'm just doing the Lord's work.
I have donated to all four of their sites to get the donator's privilege.
I love that.
Thank you. I just did The Sims 1. I don't even play it anymore. I was just like, here, take my money.
You still deserve this.
I mean, I downloaded so much as a child from that site. So I was like, you know what? Future Melissa's doing good. I'm going to share the wealth.
Yeah, love that.
Thank you for still making this game amazing.
Yeah.
Sandy, I believe her name is. We love you.
Shout out to you, Sandy.
And then tirade aside.
And one other cool interplay between gameplay and build by are the career rewards section as well. So yet another category of buy.
The career rewards are not a section in buy mode, but actually kind of in this treasure chest, future inventory space, in your sim panel. So where you would look at their needs, their skills, their job. At the very bottom, there is a tab where you can click on it and you can see career rewards.
Yep, and you'll be able to see every single career reward in the game. So, you know, as packs were released, more were added. And it would, you know, you can hover over and it would tell you how to get it. So if you weren't really that bothered about what career your sim did, you could just find the career reward that you wanted and then have them enroll in that career. And they would remain grayed out in this scrolling bar in the user interface in live mode. And they'd just be grayed out because you didn't, you know, meet the requirements to get that. And then once you reach the promotion level in the career that unlocked it, then you would be able to buy and place it.
Yeah, and typically that would be about level 5.
Yeah.
Is when you would reach that career reward. And I do remember just looking through all of these cool objects that you could get potentially. One interesting thing, I believe the Grunt household has the military career award already placed on their lot.
Yes. I loved that so much.
Me too. I also really loved the one that came with the slacker career. Those plants?
Yep. Like literally the precursor to eco lifestyle.
Yeah.
An amazing career reward.
It was very funny.
Those were my two favorites, actually. The military one from the base game, and then that hydroponic garden. Yes. And they weren't just objects for fun in that way. They also gave boosts. So they would, if you use them, say, for example, the military assault course, obstacle course, you got body skill increase from using that over like going on a treadmill.
And you got it much quicker.
Yep. Yep.
This is also where you find those rewards for aspiration. So getting your aspiration points, you can spend them on aspiration rewards in that same category. Or yes. Same section, just in a different tab.
So, yeah, and Melissa, as you just said, the idea that, yes, there's the career rewards, but then also your aspirations, which we did talk about in part one. So go back and listen to us talk about Create a Family, where we touch on aspirations and just how legitimately amazing they are. As you play the game, you get aspiration points.
Mm-hmm. So every want you fulfill has a set number of points that you may receive. So for the lower level ones, like, oh, I want to chat with somebody, you might get 100, 250 points, mm-hmm. versus the bigger ones like making out, having a baby. Having a baby, I believe, is 5,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Those ones are huge. Mastering a skill. Yes. All of these are big daddy items that would give you a lot of points to use in the store.
Yes. And of course, just like with the career objects, we have favorites in the aspiration items. My absolute favorite was the thinking cap, where you could put it on, and if your sim is in a good enough aspiration, you could have them work on their skills and they'll gain skills so fast.
Yes. And the other cool thing about The Sims 2, right, is that things have consequences. So putting on the thinking cap and having that increase is the successful outcome of using mm-hmm. that object. The failure effect for that is that your sim passes out from energy failure and they lose a skill point.
Yes. And there's also drawbacks to the career rewards as well. Just FYI.
Yeah. And that's just like, I mean, Sims 4 doesn't even know, you know?
You could never.
And what my favorite reward, because I was really, I mean, it was The Sims 2, right? We just got all of these other life stages. I was so into family gameplay in The Sims 2. Just think about everything that we were given from The Sims 1. It just felt really normal to me that, like, this is now how I play The Sims, is to live all of these experiences. So I loved the Pastor's homogeneous smart milk that you could give to toddlers, and then when they would drink it, they would like glow and have increased skill learning. And then mm-hmm. obviously, again, the negative outcome, I mean, ours are both so skill based, isn't that weird?
That is
the toddler
funny.
Would lose a skill point.
Yeah, I also played a lot with family gameplay in The Sims 2, which is interesting because I don't play that way now.
Right.
But I do remember having tons and tons of kids, and then they would just sit in the family bin forever. Well, I picked my favorite one who would just continue on the legacy.
But I feel like we were encouraged to family gameplay. You know, it was such a wonderful, and look, we're going to get there with gameplay, but all of these things, that the fact that all of these objects and the gameplay, they're all playing together so nicely. It's just, it was so new and so refreshing in 2004.
Yeah, Sims 2 encourages tradwives.
What did you just say?
Sims 2 encourages tradwives.
Tradwives?
Do you not know what that is?
No.
Oh my god. We might not have time for this in the podcast, but like traditional wives who are like meant to only have babies and look to God and their husbands.
Oh god, no. Literally disgusting. Never heard of that in my life. Because I think it's just so not on my radar.
I spend so much time on the internet. It's not funny. Mm.
Yep. And then to round out like this impressive build by improvement, again, something The Sims 4 could never. is the customization of swatches.
Yes. So in The Sims 1, every item was locked to how that item appears in the catalog. So my mind immediately is thinking of that one red chair. It was like a dining chair. It had red, like, pleather and then silver accents.
Mm-hmm.
In The Sims 2, you could customize. Now, you can't, you don't have like a color wheel or anything.
Right.
But you can choose the wood or the accent color.
Mm-hmm.
So again, thinking of that chair, I could change the metal parts to be a different metal shade.
Mm-hmm.
And I could change the color of the seat itself.
Yep.
And the backrest. So maybe I want a black metal with red or with black again. Mm-hmm. You can change the different parts of this of the objects.
Yes, exactly. And if you think about a bed, you can pick like your wood tone for the headboard and then your covers and sheets, that color.
Yes. And that's another thing I remember downloading copious amounts of custom content for is bedding.
Mm-hmm.
I loved the bedding.
People love that. Even now, like that's a complaint with right, that you just always, people always want more bedding, and mm-hmm. again, we're talking about The Sims 2 and the fact that there are consequences. If you then want to go and change that after you've entered live mode, like you pay for that.
Or even if you place it down,
yes,
and you pay for the item, if you want to recolor it, it does cost more simoleons.
Yep, so you better get it right before you place it.
Yep. I've wasted a lot of money.
Motherlode is your friend.
Ka-ching is also my friend.
Yeah, ka-ching. No, look at you, not cheating too much, just cheating a little bit.
Just a little bit. I do Motherlode. I run out of like starter homes.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll move them into like an empty lot and then Motherlode the shit out of them and then move them into like another lot.
Yeah, that's why, like, truly free real estate and then in 4 is like.
Chef. I love free real estate.
Okay, so that wraps up Build Buy, I think, for us, and just how incredibly detailed it is. And we've talked a lot about the interplay with the gameplay.
Yeah, so let's dig in.
Of gameplay.
So you've created your family in whatever world you've decided to inhabit.
Mm-hmm.
You have built them a beautiful, beautiful dream home with the simoleons you have. So maybe not dream home, maybe dream shack.
Cheat. And then that's your dream home.
You can cheat. That's true. So now what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What do you do? This is the meat and potatoes of the game.
It really is.
Is actually playing it.
Yep.
Only took us 2 hours to get to.
I know.
Which is accurate for also playing the game.
Yes, it's true. And you've probably started your game with an adult sim.
Yep.
But that is not the only life stage, as we've said a couple times, that you can play into. More than that, yes, you had children in 1, but they stayed that way.
Yep.
Now you have babies, toddlers, children, teenagers, adults, and elders, and your sim will cycle through those. With preset times that life stage is over, you can celebrate that birthday experience. If you had a good enough computer, which I didn't when this first came out, so I never saw them, that would trigger one of those cutscenes.
I hate those cutscenes.
I love the cutscenes, you blasphemous bitch.
I hate the cutscenes. 1, they take too long.
No, love it.
No, they take too long. I want to fucking play. 2, I have had too many embarrassing moments when someone walks in and my Sims are fucking woohooing because I have autonomous casual romance and they're woohooing for the first time and you get the cutscene and I'm like, yep. I'm not a pervert. I swear it's a game. I didn't make them do this. They did it on their own. They're on the couch. I turned those off. I figured out how you can turn them off. Turned them off.
Yeah. I didn't even know they existed until like my family got an upgraded computer and then I was like, what the fuck is this?
Although I will say the one for like having a baby, having an alien baby, I like.
Yeah, super cute.
Because they come out of the plumb ball.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah.
I would like the fucked up one.
Yeah, duh.
But speaking of babies, your Sims can have, they become pregnant and you have written produce babies.
What's wrong with that?
The phrasing of that is just weird.
Produce babies.
Have them. They have babies.
Nah, produce them.
Okay. They're not real.
And the fact that you're saying that they can become pregnant, already so new, in The Sims 1, it'd be like, hey, do you want a baby? And then you'd say, yeah, and then it would be there.
Yeah, it just kind of materializes with those, like, I know they're primary colored, and they're just, like, shapes.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, the baby appears.
Yes, like it's bassinet. Delivered by a stork.
Yeah.
Yes, and yeah. Then, whereas this one is much more of a biologically accurate way of producing child.
Screaming.
Yeah.
Crying.
Yes.
And the partner is freaking out.
Takes a toll on your sim, whoever is pregnant, because the male, quote unquote, Sims can get alien baby pregnant. You do have that pregnancy option for both of the types of sim that you can have in The Sims 2. That is cool already, a step up. Having a baby is amazing in this way. But not just that, right? It's the fact that those offspring that you produce will look like your Sims.
Yes. They take on the genetic traits of the parents. So, be it alien or Sim. Mm-hmm. And that just reminded me of having a child in The Sims 1 and just being super upset because my child came out fucking ugly.
Yep.
So you can customize, like, their hair, etc., to make them look less ugly.
Yeah.
But if you have two attractive Sims, you are most likely going to have an attractive child.
Yes.
Versus in The Sims 1, where you would just have whatever random fucking person came into your game.
Right. And the other cool thing about genetics in 2 is that it does play on real life genetics with the idea that you have dominant and recessive genes.
Yeah.
So you're more likely to get your dad's brown eyes than your mum's blue ones or something like that.
Yeah. Or if both of your parents are redheads, you're most likely going to be a redhead.
Right. Yeah. Really cool, brand new way of, like, growing your family. And this is what Melissa and I were talking about in the build by category, that it just encourages that kind of family gameplay.
So more than that, your Sims are not just doing whatever you tell them to do. They have wants and desires that are separate from maybe what you want and desire for your Sim.
Right. And that's based on the aspiration that you've selected in create a family, or perhaps you selected as your child Sim has grown up to select an aspiration. And those wants and fears are directly tied to, you know, their ultimate life goal.
Yeah, exactly. And this is something we touched on in episode 1. But if you have, for just say, a romance Sim, your romance Sim is not going to roll the want. It's not likely that they will roll the want to get engaged to their current partner.
Right.
And they will actually actively fear that.
Yeah.
And so that'll take a toll on their mental health, per se.
Right. And as we all know from part 1, population Sims only want one thing, and it's disgusting, and that's popularity.
Yeah, that would have worked as a joke if you had not said population Sims. Population Sims. Like an idiot.
Population Want to try that again? Technician.
Politician technician is what you were saying.
Yeah. Just join part 1 in jokes. But yeah, that all the wants are going to be tied to that. Your fears are going to be tied to that. That will then lower and raise your aspiration bar. So we talked about this before as well. It's red when it's bad, and there are two levels to that. Then you have green, then you have gold, and then you have platinum.
Yeah, and platinum is like the best mental health you could be in.
Yeah.
Red is where I'm at right now.
And that causes your sim to go into aspiration failure. Again, there are consequences
yes.
to making your sim's lives up. We love to see it.
And that consequence is you're going to get a visit from the sim shrink.
Yeah.
Who's going to come and hypnotize your sims into feeling better. He yeah. might make them do some like funny.
Don't they do this?
They do. Yeah, nobody knows what you just did. Because this is audio. For those of us who can't see Amy, so it's everybody but me. She did the thing where you trill your lips with your finger and you make the noise.
Yeah, it's all of it is so exaggerated, right? That's part of the fun. Yes. Of The Sims 2, everything is just like a little bit goofy because that's aspiration failure, right? But you can also go into social need failure, which triggers the social bunny. Like there are all of these things that if you're not caring for your Sims will trigger these things automatically. You're seeing the real world, quote unquote, implications to the choices or not choices that you're making for your Sims.
Yeah, that social bunny is fucking creepy. And this is from somebody who is a horror hound. That social bunny is like creeps the fuck out of me.
Yeah. It will haunt your dreams.
Mm-hmm. They're just like dirty. Why is it dirty?
I don't know. Because The Sims 2 is kind of like fucked up like that. In the best way.
It's very fucked up like that. I love it. It's very cartoonish. And not in the same vein that The Sims 4 is cartoonish.
Right.
But this is kind of maybe like your old school cartoons where they're a little gross, they're a little weird, they're zany, versus new school cartoons that are very polished and professional.
Yeah. Yep.
Completely. I think that's a good comparison.
Well done.
Thank you.
And sort of tied to Wants and Fears too, as a part of gameplay, is the career that you'll select for your sim. So again, in Sims 1, you would pick a career and it's kind of like, cool, this is my career. That's it, really. But your career in The Sims 2 can be directly tied to, you know, who you are and who you want to be. You have a whole bunch of them in the base game. And this is going to sound super familiar to anyone that's played a Sims game ever. Each career has 10 levels that you progress through. Once you reach 10, that's your max level. So should we recap the careers available in the base game?
Sure. You've got the athletic career, the business career. I'll keep going. The criminal career, the culinary career, law enforcement, medicine, military, politics, science, and slacker.
Yes. And all of those will sound super familiar. Like a lot of these are in every other game apart from the slacker career, which was amazing.
I love the slacker career. It's so weird. It's so random.
Yes. None of the levels are tied together. It's like you go from one job to the next one. And you're like, how did I even get here?
Yeah, it's kind of like, all right, so I'm working at a gas station. Now I'm working at a record shop.
Yep.
Now I'm a DJ.
Yep.
I'm editing videos.
Yes.
Yeah. Basically, like, it's implied that even though they're promotions, you're probably being let go from these places.
Yes. And then just picking up the next thing that falls into your.
Yeah. So you're making connections along the way.
Yes. Yeah. And that's such a key point, right? Making connections along the way for your career. So careers are, like The Sims 1, absolutely tied to skills. We'll recap skills shortly.
Right.
And absolutely tied to that. So you can imagine, like, for medicine, you need your logic skill, right? But yes. You also, to move up in these levels, need to have a network of connections.
Yeah, you need to have a certain amount of friends. So you'll probably get to level 3. And you'll notice that if your sim has only been focusing on their career, you know, you go to work, you come home, you skill, you go to work, you come home, you skill. If that's all you're doing, you might notice that you're not advancing because your sim doesn't have any fucking friends, you monster.
Mm-hmm.
And so they might bring somebody home from work.
Yep.
And that would be a great chance to kind of make that connection, move up in the world.
Yes, exactly. So making sure that you have, you know, outside social, you know, things going on, but also you have good relationships with your coworkers and things like that is super important to progressing.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be your coworker. It can be your neighbor, Jim.
Yeah, exactly.
So just like kind of like in real life, it's not always what you know, but who you know.
Oh my God. Wow. Sims 2 hitting so close to home.
iconic.
So talking about the skills, there are a few that come with the base game, and this is always expanded, you know, out through expansion packs as well. And there are different categories of skills too. So you have your basic skills that most Sims can learn. You have skills that are sometimes tied to specific age groups. Mm-hmm. And then just like in every Sims game, there are actually hidden skills as well. So let's start off with the basics, the skills that you can see in your Simology panel, that you can actually keep track of, that have 10 levels, just like a career, and you have to actively work on these to see them progress. They are cooking, mechanical, charisma, body, logic, creativity, and cleaning, which is one of the weirder base game skills, I think.
Yeah, and just like the slacker career, it's kind of a defunct skill.
Yes. And I think that's directly tied to the science. I think you had to be a good... You had to have cleaning skill for your science career, I believe.
Yeah, you did. Mm-hmm. It was also connected with the nature hobby and free time.
Yes.
Which I always found strange.
Yeah. Interesting.
And most three of these skills are tied directly to your like bookcase object. Mm-hmm. So that would be cooking, mechanical, and cleaning. You can study those. Yeah. Whereas the other skills, you're going to need to buy an object to progress in those skills. So... For example, charisma, you're going to need a mirror so you can talk to yourself. You don't gain charisma in The Sims 2 by talking to others, mm-hmm. Unlike in The Sims 4.
Right.
Body, you're going to need some kind of fitness equipment. Mm-hmm. Logic, you'll have either the chess table or a telescope. Mm-hmm. If you get the fancy telescope and you're a man, you're going to fucking get pregnant. It's just a matter of time.
Abducted by aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, not from fucking the telescope.
Men should not study logic. They're not logical beings. You're going to get probed and you're going to come back with an alien growth,
yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah.
And then finally, creativity. You're going to need an easel for that or a musical instrument.
And again, not only are they tied to career, but the interesting skill, right, cleaning, that is beneficial to skill up because you will spend less time cleaning. Like the higher your cleaning skill, the less time it takes to clean that dirty bathtub or sink or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly.
So it's an interesting one.
And hot tip, the first thing you better be fucking doing when you move into your lot is every adult Sim needs at least one cooking skill point.
Yeah, or you die.
The first time you make grilled cheese, it is going to catch on fire.
Yeah, you dead.
You're going to die. You're going to ruin that beautiful house you just spent 2 hours building. Skill up on cooking.
Yes. Yep. Exactly. And directly tied to some of the skills and not directly tied in some ways as well. You have these hidden skills like study, chess, you know, being a good dancer, these kinds of things. So for dancing, that's probably one of the most visually obvious ones.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not very good at dancing, and that's like putting on the radio or whatever, the object and just honestly clicking dance like you do in any of the other ones,
right.
They might trip or fall a little bit, and they kind of look embarrassed and they look around. It's a really cute animation.
It is. And their dance moves are more exaggerated.
Yes.
Than if they're, you know, higher in that hidden skill. Mm-hmm. They are much more graceful. They have better dancing abilities.
Yep. Yeah, it's a really cool addition that you just kind of have to do these things, mm-hmm. and you don't really get to track that. Just like one day, if your Sim has danced a lot, you'll be like, oh, damn, they're getting good at that.
Yeah, you just kind of look over and you're like, all right, go Johnny.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly. And the other thing, because of all of these life stages, you also have skills that are tied to being in like certain life stages. Mm-hmm. What I'm thinking about here is toddler. Now, we're all quite familiar with toddlers if you've played any of the more recent iterations of the game, and they all have specific toddler skills that they have to learn every time. This is the game that introduced that.
Yeah, so, and these, it's interesting because your sim toddler will actually want to gain these skills.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't gain, I'm going to say at least two of the three before they age up poorly.
Yes.
They were neglected, yep. essentially. And they have a bad, like, toddler life stage.
Yeah. And so, that's a memory. Like, yes. that becomes the core memory for them in the memory system. Whereas learning to walk, learning to talk, and being potty trained will, you like, I think every single time, be a green core good memory.
Yeah,
so you it's have a good the green memories or the red memories, the green ones being positive.
Right. And they'll also remember who trained them.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. it's kind of, it's important that, like, oh, mom taught me how to walk. Like, yes. I remember that mom did that. Or I remember that dad taught me how to talk, taught me how to, whatever I didn't yes. just say.
Yeah. And the animations are super cute.
They're very cute. Well.
Like, the toddler managing to cross over to them for the first time while walking, and they, like, collapse and do, like, a hug. It's pretty freaking adorable.
It never gets old. It really doesn't.
And looping back to what even started this skills chat, was careers. And again, we've talked about it, right? You build up your relationships, you build up your skills, but also this is The Sims 2.
Chaos, so you, baby.
Mm-hmm. So you better be ready for some chaos. You better be ready for you to be having a really nice life for your Sims and the game just come along and absolutely fucking that up for you.
Yeah, the game will shit on it. So when you go to work, you have a chance of getting something called a chance card. And this is a pop-up that pauses the game.
Mm-hmm.
You have to choose something. Pauses the
so
game.
So stressful.
Yeah, if you're not me. So pauses the game, and it's going to give you a scenario that's happening in your Sim's life at work. So I'm going to pick one from the culinary career that I kind of remember.
Mm-hmm.
You are working the drive-thru, and a group of teenagers come up, and they are just being rowdy and annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to pick what to do with them. You get two options, and you don't know which is the good option, which is the bad option.
Mm-hmm.
And even, I think they're even random when you pick them.
Yeah, there are some, I think, that have definite positive and definite negative outcomes. But sometimes the choices have both. So even yes. if you looked this up on the internet, which one should I pick?
It could still be wrong.
Yep.
So, you know, maybe you throw, I don't know if this is exactly verbatim. As you guys know, my game is broken. I haven't played in a while. So maybe you decide, oh, you're going to throw your drink at them. The boy driving the car, that is your boss's son. Fired.
So you're done.
you dumb fucked up. You're fired. But maybe you do it anyways, and it makes the teenager stop coming to your restaurant every Friday, and all of your coworkers love you.
Yep.
And you get a little raise, or you get a charisma point or something.
Yes. Build your relationship with them. Like, the positive and the negative outcomes come very wildly. And just the idea that you pick wrong and then you are fired. Like, imagine that you have a knowledge sim and you are building your way up in the science career. And then just one day you're done. And with The Sims 1 as well, you have to wait for careers to roll around in the want ads. So it's not like 4, where if I got fired, that's fine. I'll just go and re-enroll in that exact career immediately again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've mentioned this before in the pod, but I'm a very indecisive person. Whenever I play The Sims 2, I either have a physical dice on me or I use like a random number generator. And if it's odd, I pick option A. If it's even, I pick option B, no matter what it is.
Wow, stressful. Could not just do that. Could
added
not be
level
me.
Of chaos.
Mm-mm. Could not be me. And Melissa's way of doing this is even more traumatic for me.
Chaos, baby.
When you factor in that, yes, it can be very random, but there is a weighting to how the game like chooses, and that's based on morality.
Yeah.
So with Melissa's example of tossing a shake or whatever into a child's face, that would probably be the morally wrong choice. So that actually has a higher percentage based on the game of failing.
Yeah.
And leading to the negative outcome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that weighting varies from career to career, but yeah, the weighting is usually in favor of the morally correct choice.
Yes. So all I'm hearing is, Melissa, you are insane.
Yeah.
That's okay. I accept it. I crave chaos in this game.
Wow.
The chance card system is actually something that does get
expanded on in expansions.
Yes. I can't think of a better way to phrase that. Fuck off.
Fleshed out.
Fuck you. So in Bon Voyage, some of the tours that you go on come with chance cards that also have differentiating outcomes. Mm-hmm. Not even depending on what you pick. It's just kind of what the game decides to throw at you.
Yep.
And children and teens can have chance cards in free time, mm-hmm. based on their hobbies. So when they go to school, they might encounter something that happens that you get a chance card thrown at you.
Yeah, which is really cool as well.
Yeah, definitely.
And these are sort of like, you know, chance cards, random, whatever, whatever. It's almost like a game within a game, you know, having to make this choice. And mini games within the game doesn't end with chance cards for The Sims 2 either.
Mm-hmm.
The mini games that we have in The Sims 2, that more of a mini game than just picking A or B or C, you know what I mean?
Right.
Is scenarios.
Yes.
So the ones that come in the base game are your parties that you can throw, and then the head teacher scenario that happens if you have children.
Yes, and you want them to enroll in private school.
Yep, exactly that. And we have evidence in the code for what would have been more scenarios that just didn't make it. Those two are the ones that made it. But some of them reveal like a lot for what the Sims 2 base game could have been. And it's like really eye-opening when you consider base games now.
Yeah.
There is evidence to suggest that there was a power outage scenario, which was directly tied to weather knocking out the power. So they were trying to have weather as part of the base game in 2. It just couldn't work out. They couldn't get it done in time for release. We know that they eventually do succeed in adding weather through an expansion. But just the fact that they were even trying that for the base game is beyond me.
Because
we're in our time machine right now in 2004.
Yeah.
It's being attempted. And then another scenario that didn't make it was the big boss scenario. It would function like the head teacher one. But they also had a lot of life events as well, like engagements, grandchilds. They just didn't make it. Who knows why? Things change all the time when they're developing a game. I know that The Sims 2 often worked in quite a bit of a time crunch and things like that. And what they managed to produce with these mini games were really exciting. And actually, you can see the precursor for what events are now in The Sims 4 as well when it comes to parties.
Yeah, absolutely. So for parties, you have four-ish types. You have four types of parties, and they are dependent on what's going on in your Sim's life.
Mm-hmm.
So each party lasts 5 hours, and you have the house party, which is something that you can do whenever. You don't have to have a specific life stage outcome happening in your life. You can just throw a house party whenever. The next one is a birthday party. And this can only be celebrated on the day that a Sim is going to change to their next life stage. You have to have somebody in your household who is about to age up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the wedding party. So you have to have an engaged couple in order to throw this. It's basically the same as a house party, but you show up in formal clothing.
And get married.
And get married. But, and then finally you have the golden anniversary party. I've actually never thrown one of these. So it can be thrown anytime after a couple who are married / in a joint union. When they become elders, it's also the same as a house party, but more formal. And you're basically just celebrating their life together.
I mean, how fucking adorable is that?
Yeah, that explains why I never was able to complete that aspiration, because I'm a fucking idiot. I never claimed to be good at this game.
Was there funerals or no? Am I fucking insane?
No, there weren't funerals. That's Sims 3.
Sims 3 is funerals?
Sims 3 has funerals.
And like we have mentioned several times, this is a function and a bit of gameplay that is expanded on in expansion packs, right?
Right.
But the other really cool part of this is that it ties into your memory system.
Mm-hmm.
They will remember having good parties. Throwing a house party is like super important for the popularity aspiration. You know, again, you have that intersection.
They roll that want daily.
Right. They're always wanting to throw absolute bangers, and I appreciate them for it.
And it's really detrimental to them if you throw a bad party.
Yes. So that's another wonderful point that, again, there are consequences
mm-hmm.
to throwing a bad party. You can have a negatively scored party, or you can have positively scored party, and they are weighted. So yes. You have the top, and then you have the absolute bottom. So you can go all the way from roof raiser to an absolute disaster of a party. And those disaster parties will be, you know, a red locked memory. A good party will be a green locked memory.
Right. The positive party outcomes are the roof raiser, or, you know, just a good time.
Mm-hmm.
So not only can your party be a good time, you can also just have a not bad. It was fine. We got together. We saw each other. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the flip side, you have your negative party scores. You have a snoozer. You got a real dud. Or you can just have a flat out fucking disaster.
Right. And the other really cool thing that locks in with parties is it matters who you invite.
Yes.
As well. So if you, and again, this is the encouragement of family gameplay, that if you bring your family into this party as invited guests, you'll have that memory of a family reunion as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, super
so cute.
Super cute.
Which is especially cute when paired with the golden anniversary party.
Yes.
Like gathering the kids to celebrate how much you like boned your partner, you know?
Yeah. You boned a ton and look at all these fucking kids you have. If you throw a party and it gets to be too late, so around 11 p.m. in the game, the police will show up and they will shut it down because your neighbors are complaining that it's too loud.
Mm-hmm.
Which yeah, actually makes a ton of sense now, because I always thought it was because I had the radio on. So I would always try to like turn the radio on and then they would still come. And I was like, but we're not even being loud. The music's not playing anymore.
And you know, just like true to life, the police coming and breaking it up doesn't mean that that's automatically a negative party. Like if you are throwing a roof raiser, top positive outcome at that time, you will end with a roof raising party, which mm-hmm. I just love that concept. And to have that is not really that difficult. Your Sims guests need to be having fun. They need to be fed. And that's really it. Like make sure they have somewhere for themselves. And basically you just need to have their like wants in the green, and that's it really for throwing a really banging party, which sounds super easy, but if you're looking after your Sims and this, it can get complicated, right? When
yeah,
you could have a household of up to 8 Sims. But so much fun. Love that police would come and break that up. It's not the only time the police can make an appearance in The Sims 2 either. Mm-hmm. If your teen Sims sneak out,
yeah, they can potentially be brought home by a police officer.
Yep.
So embarrassing.
So embarrassing, but so much fun. Mm-hmm. And then if your parent Sim is still awake, they'll scold them and Yeah, it's
I think they wake up, actually. One of the parents will wake up.
And they have to see them, I think. So if you don't want them to see them, just keep them in the bedroom.
Yep.
So you can, like, play out either scenario. You know, do they get caught and they're in so much trouble? Or is your Sim getting brought home by the police every night and your parents, like, Sims
just don't
know?
Yeah. It's also not too difficult to have, like, a bad party.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you're so focused on, like, aging them up, I used to have a really bad habit of I would automatically age up, like, you know, a child or a teen, and then I would take them to the bathroom, give them a makeover,
mm-hmm.
redo their clothing, and by the time all that was done, the party would be almost over.
Mm-hmm.
And so they would always have, like, a real dud for their birthday parties, and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, you know, not fucking paying attention to the party. It's like they're dancing, they've got cake, they're fine, I don't need to micromanage.
Right.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, it's fun.
But I think the only way really to have a disaster party, not the only way, but a lot of the time when I would have a disaster party, it was because someone fucking died. I also think that Cassandra Goth's wedding turns out as a disaster.
If you do it straight away because she gets left at the altar?
Yes.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, of course.
That would be a disaster of a wedding party, you know?
Yeah, I mean, who cares what everyone else is doing? I got left at the altar.
Right, exactly. I don't care if you're fed, like...
If this was my wedding stories, that would be a happy ending.
It would. They'd be like, wow, I had such a great time.
I had so much fun. There was a buffet table. The jukebox was on. I don't need anything else.
Yeah.
I changed into my swimwear halfway through.
Because you had it by the beach that I can swim in. I love that. I love that. And again, these, you know, having the birthday party, new, right?
Mm-hmm. It
feeds into that generations, you grow up, you live your life, blah, blah, blah. Each one feels really unique. So going from a baby to a toddler is so different. Going to a child, going to a teen, all of these life stages feel so different.
And there's so much to do in every stage
that
you have to take advantage of.
Yep. Yep, and just the outcomes for it too, like teens getting acne.
Mm-hmm. If they have low low hygiene.
Yeah. Really great, really great stuff. And again, fleshing out that childhood period of time is the second scenario of head teacher.
Yes. So SimCity Academy, introduced in The Sims 2, is a private school that children and teenagers can attend if they have a minimum grade of a C.
Right.
And you're fine. And in order to enroll, you need to have your parent or guardian invite over the head teacher and schmooze, wine and dine, give them a little tour of the house, give them a good time. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Oh, my God.
And then they will allow your child, teen, the children in the household to attend that school.
Right. And it kicks off again. It's like a mini game, right? Mm-hmm. You're trying to get points to make him like you, basically, and accept your child into the SimCity Academy. So as Melissa said, there are things that you have to do, and the game makes it pretty easy to find them. It actually pops up in the pie menu to entertain the headmaster and schmooze him and things like that. So you need to impress him to get 90 points.
Right.
And once you hit that 90 points, you'll be accepted into the private school.
Mm-hmm. So some of the things that you need to do are you need to give a tour of the home.
Mm-hmm.
You need to serve them a meal.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to socialize.
Yep. And if you do those things successfully, if he likes what he sees, the points will go up.
Right.
And you don't need to do this for every child in your household. You invite that headmaster over once, and it will automatically enroll all children and teens into the private school. And again, this will unlock a core memory if you're accepted or rejected into SimCity Academy.
Yes. And one thing I find interesting is what you serve for dinner does have an effect on the outcome. So if you have a low cooking skill point, low cooking skill, and you serve like spaghetti, that's not going to be as good as if you have a really high cooking skill and you serve, say, lobster thermidor.
Yep.
That's going to be like, damn, you're in.
Yes. And I swear it's true for touring as well. If you have low quality objects, he's like, wow, you live in a shithole.
Yeah, you cannot afford to send your children to private school. Not that there's tuition, but...
Right. So really the only difference for me when we were getting into SimCity Academy was obviously your Sims would then have a uniform, which I liked doing anyway because that was my everyday life. So I liked my Sims getting into SimCity Academy, so it felt more like my experience of going to school.
Yeah.
And then if you get in, yes, it's a core memory, but if you're a teen and you have that knowledge and fortune, then they will more likely want to roll this as a want.
Right.
Like to, you know, either flex how smart they are or flex how rich they are.
Yeah, it's very aspirational.
Yes. Yep.
I did not care for the private school. I didn't care if my Sims got in.
Fair enough.
Too focused on mom and dad's careers.
Oh. Yeah. As soon as I have kids, I could not give a shit about the parents anymore. They're dead to me.
Fair. I'm very focused on mom and dad's careers. I need them to get up to level 10.
Wow. Yeah. They're nothing. I always had Sim babies so late, though, because I would focus so much on them. And I knew as soon as the kids were born, they were nothing to me anymore.
Fair.
So, but there are pros and cons to going to private school.
Right.
So the cons are that the homework is stressful, way more stressful on your child or teen's fun needs.
Yes.
So that will deplete way quicker. And also the cons of like the overall scenario is that the headmaster, like, that can be really stressful to do if you're, again, like we were talking about with the other parties, if your household is large, it becomes more difficult to keep everyone happy, including the headmaster that you're trying to impress.
Yeah, everything is more difficult when you have more Sims, but that adds to the challenge.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so if you just have like one child, it's really not going to be too hard if you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Especially if you're Sims have lots of money, they have high skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty easy to get them in. If you have like a single mom with seven kids, she's going to have to bust her ass.
Yeah. Prepare for a rough time.
Oh, yeah.
But then there also are pros to going and completing this. So you have... attending school will then take less of a toll on your child or teen's Sims needs while they're there. And then you also have the fact that like graduating from the private school will mean that your teen as an adult starts careers at level 2.
I didn't know that.
It's sort of like in 4, mm-hmm. if you finish school with an A, right, you'll start at level 3.
I don't play with family, so I didn't know that. That's actually very interesting.
Yeah. And then it actually kind of negates the need to have that in 4, the connections aspiration reward thing that lets you start at 4. And it's like, well, if I just get an A, I start at 3 already, so what does it matter?
Yeah, that's true. Interesting.
Yeah.
Learn something new every day.
Right?
Another pro is performance awards. It's our skill points rather than small sums of money. So if your Sim is maybe in a play in school, this is not like you get a pop-up that says that. Mm-hmm. They'll earn maybe like creativity rather than grandma and grandpa sending them money.
Right. Yeah. And obviously that's more difficult to come by, like skills take a little bit more time than earning the money, right? So
yeah, it's definitely more desirable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an interesting fold into this, and it just this scenario to me exemplifies for what The Sims 2 is to generations. Like, it encouraged you so much to explore the different new life stages and also gave you a lot of choice within those life stages about how that Sims life turns out.
Yeah. Sims 2 Generations was never an expansion. It was the base game.
Oh. fuck yeah.
But yeah, every life stage except maybe baby, but you're only a baby for a couple of days.
Yeah.
There's so much to do. Toddlers, you have so much to learn. You want to make those relationships with your parents and your siblings matter. Mm-hmm. Children, you have maybe getting into private school. You're making friends. You're going to school. You have your weekends off. Mm-hmm. Teens, if you have university, you might want to start thinking about going to college. Mm-hmm. You get a part-time job, and if you get high enough in that part-time job and you graduate still in it, you're bumped up in the career. Mm-hmm. That you were in high school.
Yeah.
So it's very important, the choices you make or the choices you don't make.
Yep. Agreed.
Mm-hmm. And then again, as adults, maybe you want to find that perfect significant other and start a family of your own.
Yeah.
Go out into the world, find a new lot, build your home, and build it up.
Yep. Yeah, it really did encourage that play this family for multiple generations, go from nothing to something, that kind of, I mean, I feel like that is the legacy challenge, you know?
Oh yeah.
The roots of that.
The legacy challenge was born in The Sims 2. Mm-hmm. You couldn't do that in The Sims 1.
Right.
Yeah. And one of the great features of The Sims 2 is you can look at your family tree and you can watch it grow.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're going to keep and carry into further games.
Right. Even if we have to demand that it's added.
For fuck's sake. Yes. Yeah. But I will say one drawback of The Sims 2 families is you can kiss your cousins. They are kissing cousins.
Really?
Yeah, cousins and like your extended family kind of get muddy.
Yeah. They get muddy in 4 too.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. More about like the immediate family tree.
Yes.
Yeah. Mhm. Yeah.
Whereas I think in The Sims 3 it labels those
cousins. Yeah.
As cousins, so you like The
and
game doesn't let you do that.
And yeah, you have that labeled. And that's probably, like, to me, I never really experienced that, because the other thing about the gameplay for The Sims 2 is that when you're on your lot, the rest of the world stays still.
Yes.
So you're playing your Sim family that you've made from Create a Family, you're in Pleasant View. Well, the Goths will never age.
Yes.
And their life will not change. Like, you can know them, you can be friends with them, but your grandmother might have been best friends with Cassandra, and now you as an adult are also best friends with Cassandra. And I used to genuinely play it like that sometimes, because I didn't do the rotational gameplay
at
all, which a lot of people did and they really enjoyed it. I don't care about that. I want my Sims to just age around me and live their lives. I like story progression to happen autonomously around me.
And there's a mod for that now.
Yes,
The Sims 2.
Absolutely, absolutely. But baby, we're in 2004.
It's 2004, yep.
And
I had that problem of, oh, fuck, I'm dating my uncle.
Yes.
Because I would just forget who was
related. Right, exactly.
Because they're just sitting in the sim bin. I'm not playing those people. I'm kicking them out. Right. I need room for my babies.
Uh-huh. Yep, exactly that. And then one other weird drawback that there is a mod for, I know I could already see it on your tongue to say there's a mod for it, but if you went to a community lot at 8 a.m. on a Saturday morning and you stayed at that community lot until 5 p.m. on a Sunday, when you go back to your house, it will be 8 a.m. on a Saturday.
I hate that.
Yeah.
It made me not want to go to community lots.
Same. And it didn't really bother me in the base game, but as your world opened up with expansion packs in the most beautiful way, hello mm-hmm. nightlife, it became more pronounced and more like frustrating.
Yeah. When Open for Business came out, and I loved mm-hmm. running businesses, I would make them a little apartment upstairs
mm-hmm.
because I didn't want to go home and like lose all that progress.
Right. Yep. Yeah, I completely understand. But still, iconic game. So much
so
of
good.
What we love
so good.
Trace back to this.
Yeah. No, but definitely in Sims 3, which we'll talk about soon with that base game, That story progression is just unheard of.
And I'm going to try really hard for when I speak about The Sims 3 base game for it to just not be incoherent screaming.
Yeah. We are very, very
biased,
devoted to The Sims 3. So that's the base game for The Sims 2.
I can't believe we just did that. And you know what? We're not done. Not really, right? So do... No. Check out our feed soon. We'll be coming back around. We mentioned this in part one, that we really want to deep dive into the lore, because yes, the lore is plentiful in each world that comes in the base game. Obviously, people think of and most remember Pleasant View and that story because it is the through line for all of the games.
Right.
From one right through to four, we can trace these people in each of the games in a really noticeable and like front-facing way. So we really didn't do them justice in part one.
No, because we don't want you guys to be stuck with a five-hour episode. Instead, we'll do five-hour-long episodes.
So yes, this is definitely part two of TBD amount of episodes. But we're just excited to deep dive in with this and dissect the townie relationships and the salacious gossip in all of them.
Definitely.
Right?
And give ourselves a chance to really geek out and reread some Shakespeare to tell you about Veronaville.
Yes! I'm so excited. That's going to be so much fun. And in the meantime...
you can...
rate, review, and subscribe to Speaking Simlish and follow us at Speaking Simlish Pod on Instagram.
Or on Twitter at Speak Simlish Pod.
You can email us your geeky Sims memories at speakingsimlishpod@gmail.com.
Yeah. And once again, we would love to hear from y'all. We did get some really good feedback from the first episode, and I want to thank you, Amy, also. I'm sure wants to say thank you.
No.
Okay. Well, we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening and making that one of our best performing episodes ever. Thank you again. We've been Speaking Simlish.
And until next time, stay simming.